Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome one and all to Zion United Methodist Church. And we're going to pass the peace of Christ, but we're going to do it in a different way. Instead of shaking people's hands, do fist bump or elbow. This is not because of the coronavirus, but there are so many colds and flus going around that I just want to keep everybody safe and protected. And I just want you to know that you are in the presence of three David Kellys this morning. My father, who started all this nonsense, is in the house, and my son, Davey, is in the house as well. So let us greet each other. Stand for the call to worship found in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Christ shall startle many nations.
He shall rather announce because of him.
For that which had not been told them, they shall see. Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
Christ for our iniquities.
Upon him was the punishment that made us whole.
And by his bruises we are healed.
Our opening hymn is found in your faith we sing, 2149, Living for Jesus. food on the table? Do you have a nice bed to sleep in? Yeah? Who provided all those things? Our moms and God? That didn't have anything to do with it. Yes. You know something? You are right on, in Vaughn, always on it. Because you know, the Lord said to Moses these commandments, and he wrote them down in a stone tablet. He says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. So, do you always obey what your parents say? No. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Be honest, right? Huh? No. It's hard to follow rules, isn't it? Especially when we want to do what we want to do, right? When we want to do it, right? Huh? When we're into the video game, you know, and mom or dad saying, it's time for you to go to bed, right? Huh? We're going, oh no, we want to get this game over, right? It's hard to do that, isn't it? Yeah. But you know, God has blessed you with wonderful parents. And you need to give them respect, you know. You need to say to mom and dad, you know, okay. Right? You know, it's hard to do that. I know that, okay? It's hard to do that. But, you know, you need to show them respect, you know? And when you show them respect, you show that you love them because they love you. And God loves us all, you know? And we should all show each other respect. But we all should show God respect. Amen? How about if you pray with me, okay? Dear God, help me to show respect to my mom and dad and to you. Amen. I would like for you to help me this morning, okay? Would you guys come over here? Okay? All right. We have these beautiful prayer shawls that my wife has put together. And I want you to come around front here, okay? All right. And what we're going to do, we're going to bless these shawls so you can put your hands on them, okay? All right, okay? And I'd like for the rest of everybody else just to stretch out their hands, okay? We're going to bless these shawls here, okay? Gracious Lord God, you can pray with me, good. We thank you for the ability to show your love to others. We pray over these prayer shawls that the person that receives them may know that you love them. Amen. Now, Vaughn, I would like for you to pick out one for your mom, okay? And Spencer, I'd like for you to pick out one for Grandma, because I know she started chemo this week, okay? So could you do that? All right. Okay. Got those? You can take, you want something else? You want this one over here? Okay, that's fine. All right. Okay. You take them with you. Okay. All right. You want to pick one out too? You can. Okay. All right. Okay. You give it to somebody that needs to know that God loves them. All right, guys? Okay, and I've got your candy. I haven't forgotten that. I know that's part of what you came up. All right, so there you go. One there. There. You're welcome. Welcome. And the rest of the congregation, you're willing to take any of these shawls. If you know someone that needs to know that God loves them, you're willing to do that. And if you'd like to be part of creating a ministry of prayer shawls, see my wife. I don't put them together. I'm all thumbs when it comes to that. So see her, and she'll be glad to organize it, get it all set up. Because we want people to know that God loves them. And it's amazing. I've probably handed out probably close to 1,000 prayer shawls. And people would take these shawls and they would just put them around them. And every time they feel pain or every time they feel that they're far away from God, they'll know that God is right here with them. So you're welcome to take those. You're welcome if anybody knits or crochets, you can see my wife and she'll be glad to set you all up on how to do it. It's very easy. She just sits there and cranks them out while I'm driving. That takes her, that makes her calm. So, but they're welcome. You're welcome to take them with you. Praises. Anybody have any praises this morning? We have a new granddaddy. Yeah, we got to get the mic down here, Lynn.
Know that my son and my daughter-in-law had a baby. And her name is Miranda Elizabeth. She was 20 and a half inches long and 6.08 pounds. And she was born on the 1st of May.
March. We haven't got the May yet.
Thanks be to God.
Ricky and I got to go to Denton Elementary School on Friday and have our first grandparents' day with our granddaughter. It was so much fun. We just had a wonderful time.
Praise the Lord. Any other praises we have?
This is more of a prayer for Wanda Spencer's grandmother, Paula. She started chemo and radiation, and we're all keeping her in our prayers, if you would please. Thank you.
Amanda and your family in their prayers as well. Any others this morning? Any other praises? Dan? You want to, my wife would like to say something.
I'm looking forward to this. Excuse me, no.
Well, the reason we have so many David Kellys in the house today is because we're celebrating birthdays for two of them. Our son Davey had a birthday yesterday, and my husband has a birthday on Friday the 13th.
See, good things do happen on Friday the 13th.
Happy birthday.
David III, he finished up his apprenticeship program with Dixon Valve the other week and passed his test and has their celebration in about a week and a half, and he was working through that for 2 years?
Sure.
3 years? So that was a big thing.
Congratulations, son. This is an engineering certification is what he passed. This is a national certification, so he'll be a national engineer on the CDC machine, so praise God. Amen. It's a tough one to get through. Any other praises we have? Yes?
This is a prayer request. Okay. Please keep my sister-in-law, Grant Van Dyke, in your prayers. She's had some complications with her cancer recovery. Thank you.
Keep. Any others?
Right here.
Yes. Yes, Robin.
I know this is a little different. I'm a cat lady. I have multiples. But tomorrow I have to have one of my cats. Her leg has to be amputated.
Oh my gosh.
We've been struggling with this for a year to try to save the leg. And we all are very close to our pets. And they are my children. And my daughter always said I had cats instead of children. But anyway, that's another story. But I'd like prayers for my, for us and my kitty. Her name's Phoebe. And it's going to be a rough go. Thank you.
All right. Keep you and your and Phoebe in your prayers, yes. Any other prayer concerns we have? Yes, Ashton?
So this weekend I had the opportunity to go to Philadelphia and catch up with my friend that is teaching abroad in China, who I'll actually be teaching with. And we talked a lot about what I need to expect, what I need to prepare for. She's home right now, not because she has the virus, but because they closed down the schools and she didn't want to stay alone in China for 2 months. So it's both a praise that I got to meet with her and discuss all of this stuff, but also a prayer that they continue to work towards fighting the virus and finding a cure for it.
I've got a prayer request. Phil Reed contacted me yesterday. Please keep his wife Donna lifted up in prayer. She had a heart attack while she was at Portside yesterday. She is in ICU in Easton. She had a temporary pacemaker put in yesterday with a permanent one to go in tomorrow. But he said as of last night, she was resting well. So just keep Donna and the family in your prayers, please.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Yeah, this morning I met with the Lions District Social was last night, and all the district members are here in town. And I met with them at the Holiday Inn this morning, and we have six families that were burnt out on Greenwood Avenue. And the Lions this morning raised about $310 to help them out. They are staying at the Holiday Inn, and but it's going to be short-lived. So they need some clothes. They need different things. So the Lions are trying to raise some money to help them. We did raise some money this morning, and then we are meeting Tuesday night. I'm going to ask our club to step up and raise some money for the families.
How can others be involved in helping this family or these families?
What I'll do, I've asked the families to get in touch with me and the Red Cross to get in touch with me. So as soon as I find out, I'll pass that along.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
I think might be a short-lived thing. But a lot of smoke damage and everything. There's one concern is a little baby that's 2 months old. So we left money there at the Holiday Inn this morning to give them as they need it for food and that type of thing. So, but we will be, all of the Lions Club in our area this morning told me if we needed money to let them know and they would step up.
And if this church needs help, and if you need help from us, please let us know, Gene, how we can be able to help this family out, that's for sure. Yes. Any other prayer concerns we have? Definitely with the coronavirus, we definitely need to keep those in prayer that are going through the symptoms of the coronavirus, ones that have lost loved ones, and so on and so forth. And certainly the travel worldwide is all disrupted, as well as distribution of goods. So we need to just lift this all up to the Lord. Amen. I also want you to know about the United Methodist Church. We need to pray for the United Methodist Church. I can tell you this, okay? We're going to meet in May 15th, May 5th through the 15th, okay? But things will not be finalized for probably a year, okay? So don't be running, don't be jumping, don't go to conclusions, because this is all going to be an influx process, all right? So turn off the TV, the newspapers, the mass media, when they talk about the United Methodist Church and what's going on, I will give you the truth, all right? I will give you the truth. I'm staying in touch with all that's going on. And right now there's five proposals that are going to go to General Conference. And those proposals will be voted on, and they'll be changed and modified and everything else. And I don't know what's going to come out of all any of them, okay? But know this. Who is in charge? God is in charge, right? So whatever happens, God is in charge, and we want God's will to be done at General Conference and for our United Methodist Church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, oh God, and we just are thankful and praise about all that you're doing in each one of our lives. You provide the sun, dear Lord. You provide the rain. You provide the beauty that's all around us and the beauty in the faces that we see in each other, O Lord. Your light shines brighter than any light, O God. And Heavenly Father, we know that you are such a wonderful God, that you bend your ear down from heaven to hear the concerns of our hearts. And we pray for Paula and Amanda as Paula is going through cancer. We lift up another lady, dear Lord, that does the cancer has come back, and we ask you to be with her and her family. We pray for those that are dealing with various viruses, sicknesses, flus, dear Lord. Pray for your healing grace to be upon them. Pray you'll be with the medical community to provide healing, oh God. We pray for those families that are the families that have been burned out, dear Lord, in this fire. We ask you to be with all those involved in that situation. May we be the hands and feet of Christ reaching out and sharing your love. Letting them know that somebody cares about them, oh God. And Heavenly Father, we pray for many that are going through all kinds of situations in their lives, oh Lord. We lift this all up to you, oh God, knowing as your Son taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship our God with our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you in thanksgiving and praise. Thank you for your Son that gave his life for each one of us so that we may have life eternal, O God. Bless the gift and the giver. Use them, dear Lord, so that others will come to know your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, found on page 74 in the Pew Bible. Moses has ascended Mount Sinai, and God comes down to meet Moses in a cloud. God gives Moses the laws by which the people should live. One of which is to honor those in authority. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We invite you to stand if you are able to sing Psalm number 451, Be Thou My Vision. And please remain standing for the reading of the gospel. Reading is from John chapter 19 verses 12 through 19 on page 1073 in your Pew Bible. Jesus is accused of being an earthly king, king of the Jews. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate says to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This is the word of the Lord of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our worship service will continue with our wonderful choir singing its anthem.
Thank you.
choir. Oh, that was awesome, awesome, awesome. Mm, loving hand. Whew. I want to be my own boss. I don't want to have anybody over top of me. How many times have you heard that from people? How many times have you heard that? Hey, if I was boss, this company would be run a whole lot differently than what it is. Huh? You heard that one too? You know? And I just giggle to myself because people say, you know, I don't want to have anybody over top of me. They already have somebody over top of them, don't they? They already have somebody over top of them. They have the Lord over top of them, don't they? Yeah, they have the Lord over top of them. I can tell you this, you know? If they believe in Jesus Christ, they're always going to have the Lord over top of them in all eternity, amen? And if they don't, then they're going to have the devil over top of them, amen? Amen. But you know, we always have people in authority, don't we? God has blessed us from our early beginnings as a baby growing up, that God has placed people in authority over us. First beginning with our parents. First beginning with our parents. Our parents who love us, who care for us, who nurture us, and hopefully the Christian parents that teach us about God and God's love for each one of us. You know, and they also show us the ability to be respectful, don't they? They show us the ability to have respect for them as well as for others, you know. And because of that, we end up having respect for ourselves, don't we? We end up having respect for ourselves. And certainly in our society today, you know, we have law enforcement people that have authority over us, doctors, lawyers, government leaders, and so on and so forth. All those people are placed in authority over us. And when we dishonor and disrespect them, then we wound Christ, don't we? We wound Christ because we dishonor the authority that God has placed over us. In Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us, dear Lord, so that we may understand, O God, how we have disrespected authority, the authority that you have placed over each one of us, O God, and that we may repent of our sin and seek forgiveness from your Son, Jesus, who by his wounds we are all healed. In Jesus' name I pray. If you'd like to follow along, there are sermon notes there in your bulletin there for you to follow if you'd like to do that. You know, before I begin, though, I need to put out a little disclaimer. Some of us have not had parents that have been very respectful, maybe have even abused us mentally or physically. And I just want you to know that God loves you, and God understands that. And God, in the end, will pay back. You don't have to pay back retribution. God will do that. We also know of government leaders, doctors, lawyers, ministers, you name it, that have taken, even the boss, that has taken advantage of us. It's not up to us to seek vengeance. It's not up to us to seek retribution. Instead, what we need to do is we need to ask God to give us the ability to be able to forgive. And forgiveness does not mean that what the person did to us was right or okay. Forgiveness means that I don't have to carry this burden any longer, because God is going to carry that burden for me. God is the one that is judge of us all, amen? And we don't have to carry that burden. So we just need to ask God to open our hearts and allow us to be able to forgive this person that may have done wrong to us. Because in Revelation 20 it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him, God, who was seated on it, and earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." And every one of us will face judgment day, amen? Every one of us will face judgment day for the things that we did or didn't do, the things that we said or shouldn't have said. God, we are all going to face judgment, including the ones that have taken advantage of the situation of their authority. So it's not up for us to seek vengeance. It's up to us to allow God to be the judge and jury. Amen? But in God's perfect plan, God has placed parents to guide us, to direct us, to nurture us, to love us, so that we will know God and his great love for each one of us. That is why we are to honor them and to show them respect. And in Exodus 20, verse number 12, this is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you." The Apostle Paul takes it a little farther, and he says in Ephesians 6, starting with verse number 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Listen to this, parents. "Fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And I'm sure we're probably all guilty as parents of exasperating their children, aren't we, from time to time? So Paul takes it a little bit further. You know, but I want you to know this. Parents, you are called to instruct, okay, and to discipline, and to nurture, and to love. But you are not called to be a friend, all right, to your children. Your children have plenty of other friends, all right, but that's not your job as a parent. Yes, you can have a wonderful time and with them and nurture and love them and have wonderful experience, but you're not called to be their friend. Too often I hear that, oh, I want to be a friend to my children. I want to be a friend to my daughter. I want to be a friend to my son. That's not what God has called us. I'd like to give you an example of this. I read about this article this week about Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg, if those that don't know him, is an actor. And he's having a birthday party for his 10-year-old daughter, who happened to be named Grace. I don't know why he came up with that name. And they hired a DJ to provide dance music for the party. And the DJ's got the music cranking on, and everybody's dancing and everything else. And Mark is listening to the lyrics of the songs that are going on, and they're filled with a lot of F-bombs, and they're filled with a lot of degrading of women, putting women down. And Mark goes to the DJ and says, hold on. Do you know what you're playing? And the DJ, I didn't get the whole part of the conversation, but just kind of paraphrasing things a little bit. The DJ children are watching, what they're listening to, okay? And to be there and say, hey, that stuff is not appropriate. That stuff is not appropriate. You know, what video games they may be playing or whatnot. We are called as parents to be in the leadership role because God has placed us there. Amen? Not to be a friend. But God wants all of us in the role of leadership in our homes, at our workplace, our churches, our community, our nations, and the world. And the reason why God wants us in this role is to care, protect, and demonstrate the love of God. Leaders are called to a higher authority than themselves. Did you hear that? Leaders are called to a higher authority than themselves. But I can tell you this. When leadership neglects, abuses their role, all of us suffer. The Bible points this out numerous times. Just start with the book of Judges and read all the way to 2 Chronicles. You got Judges, you got 1 and 2 Samuel, you got 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. All throughout there are good and bad roles of leadership in there. More bad than good, unfortunately. And every time a leader does not do the things that God wants the leader to do, the whole nation of Israel suffers. And all of us suffer when the leader refuses to follow God. Amen? So the role of leadership is very important in our homes, our churches, our community, our nation, and the world. It's not easy to be a leader. People look up to leaders to make the right decisions, but leaders do not always make the right decisions. That is why myself, I have to lean on Almighty God. And I pray that you will pray for me and that you will forgive me when I make wrong decisions. When I fail, because I know I'm going to fail. I'm only human. So I ask for your prayers and your forgiveness. Jesus, God's Son, understands the role of leadership. Jesus is always showing and confronting the leadership of his day. You know, he confronted the leadership of his day, which was the church. All right? And the church and the leaders in the church, he called them to demonstrate God's love to the people. And matter of fact, this is the group that oftentimes opposed Jesus the most. Excuse me. It wasn't the Roman authorities. It wasn't the ordinary people. It was the leaders of the church, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And these are the people, are the ones that Jesus told his disciples what would happen to him. I've already made a mistake. It's in Mark 10, not Mark 11, verses 33 to 34, if you're following me. Thank you, I praise that. Jesus took his disciples aside and he said, we're going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. And they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. This is where we pick up our scripture this morning. Jesus has been brought to Pontius Pilate. He's already gone through the trial with the Jewish church leaders, and they found him guilty of blasphemy. And Pilate knows that this is a trumped-up charge on Jesus, and Pilate is trying to figure out some way of letting Jesus off the hook. And it says, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. Pilate is thinking to himself, oh, maybe this is the open because I know how the people hate Caesar, right? Caesar is leveling heavy taxes on them. He's got the Roman guards and the army there telling them what they can do and what they can't do. And he said, oh, I know the people really hate Caesar. And if they think Jesus is their king, then they're going to let Jesus off. So Pilate comes up with this plan. He brings Jesus out there. And he says to the people, here is your king. But Pilate thinks he's in charge. But who is really in charge? God is in charge, amen? God is in charge. And God has already placed it in the minds of the chief priests that this is going to happen. And the chief priests are telling the people, when this happens, say, take him away, crucify him. And that's what happened. Excuse me. And the people cry out, take him away, crucify him. Pilate says, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answer, we have no king but Caesar. So Pilate handed him over to be crucified. They nailed him to a cross. And Pilate wrote out on top of the cross, fastened to the top of the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So Pilate's plan backfired because Pilate forgot who was in charge, not him, but God. But you know, I find it very interesting that when we quote the Apostles' Creed, we say that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Fact of the matter, Pontius Pilate was just used by Almighty God, wasn't he? God is really the one who allowed his son to suffer, to be crucified, to die, and to be buried for our sake and the sake of all sinners. Yet the statement is that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. But what I want you to do is, I want you to insert your name into these statements. For instance, when I say Jesus suffered, I'm going to say Jesus suffered for David. I want you to state your name, okay? Can we do that? Jesus suffered for? Jesus was crucified for? Jesus died for? Jesus was buried for? See, Jesus suffered and died for each one of us. We are ones that actually nailed Jesus to the cross. And in this, Jesus is showing the leadership of Almighty God. In Philippians 2, starting with verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we, as Christ's followers, as his servants, we should honor the leaders that God has placed over each one of us. Amen. We should not criticize and put down leaders. Yeah, we can point out to them the error of their ways, and I'm willing to accept that. I make mistakes, and I'm willing for you to come to me and say, hey, Pastor Dave, you screwed up. I say, yeah, I did. How did I screw up? You know? Because I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to admit that. But as leaders, we should also hold ourselves to a higher standard, to the standard of Jesus. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, We have not shown them the respect that is due to them, O God. Please forgive us. Please help us not to criticize and condemn them, dear Lord. Yes, we can show them the error of their ways. But Heavenly Father, we should have respect for them because you are the ones that have placed them above us. And Heavenly Father, as leaders, we should hold ourselves to the high standard of your Son Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to the cross. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our responsive hymn is Happy the Home Where God Is There, number 445. If you please stand as you sing that, if anybody would like to come forward and come to the altar of the Lord to just have some time with God, you're welcome to do that at this time. The rest of us, please stand and sing hymn number 4.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always.